Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Thursday, as I already mentioned, is already Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead. We'll celebrate it here with a special divine service this Thursday. But before he left, before he went to the Father, before he ascended into heaven, Jesus left behind gifts to his disciples, to his church. Lots of them. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 4, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. First and foremost, and really the foundation for every gift that he gave himself. As Paul says to the Ephesians in the next chapter, chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He himself is God the Father's gift to the world, to a world full of sinners that could never deserve for God to give his son, that could never deserve for God to slaughter his son on a cross in order to bring his enemies into his family. And yet he did. He gave his life for us, to pay for our sins, to earn the forgiveness of our sins and God's favor for us. Then he gave the gift that actually connects sinners to him for the forgiveness of sins. He gave us his gift of holy baptism. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Paul goes on in Ephesians 5, he talks about that gift that Jesus gave. He gave himself for his church that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. With the waters of baptism, Christ gives his gift of his Holy Spirit. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, through baptism, works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal life to all who believe this. Gifts. Faith is a gift, not a work, not a choice on your part, or something you could do by nature, but a gift, as Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Faith comes through the word, as Paul says, through hearing. The word of Christ itself is a gift that never passes away, even though heaven and earth do pass away. It's a gift Jesus left behind for us, so that you have every opportunity to hear, to read, to study, and to meditate on the word of Christ that he has left behind for you as the only way for you to know him and to receive faith from him. And Paul talks about pastors, ministers of the word, as also being gifts that Christ left behind for his church, those through whom his word is preached and through whom faith is kindled. Christ says, or Paul says to the Ephesians, Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're not done. We can't stop talking about these gifts without that great gift that Jesus gave to his disciples and to his church on the same night when he spoke the words you heard in the gospel today, the same night in which he was betrayed, when he gave the gift of the sacrament by which he gives his body and blood to Christians to eat and to drink, to receive the seal of our forgiveness. All these great gifts Christ gave. Gifts from him to us, gifts for strengthening us and helping us. He speaks in our gospel of a different gift, that he left behind, a different kind of gift, one that doesn't come like the others from God to us, but the gift of us being able to take our requests, our needs, our petitions to God. The gift of having the right and even the command to ask God for things. For the things we need, for the things other people need. He gave us the gift of prayer. He said to his disciples, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Let's take a moment yet this morning to consider what a great gift that was and is. "Most assuredly, I say to you," Jesus said, "whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." This is an important gift because we are and always will be needy creatures here on earth. We will always be the creatures, never the Creator. Always the people, never God. First, we have bitter enemies in this world. We have the enemies of the devil and the world and our sinful flesh. And they are all more powerful than we are. They seek to destroy faith in Christ. They seek to separate you from God, to keep you from repenting, to keep you living in sin, to return you to sin, and remove you from God's family. They seek to silence God's word day and night. Not a day goes by, not a moment goes by when you don't need God's help in the face of these bitter enemies. Then, let's pretend we didn't have the enemies. There's still the simple fact that we are not in control. Not in control of anything in this world. Not in control of our health, of our future, the weather, the government, the actions of other people. Our actions may influence some of those things to some extent. We don't deny that. But ultimately, God is the one who decides whether the earth keeps spinning or not. And Jesus has given us Christians the gift of being able to approach our Father in heaven, the one who does decide to keep the earth spinning or not, and everything else, to ask him for things which he has promised to grant. To ask him, Jesus says, in my name. What does that mean? First, Jesus tells us one thing it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, he says, that I shall pray the Father for you. To pray in Jesus' name doesn't mean to ask Jesus for things so that he can then ask God the Father. Not because you can't pray to Jesus, you can, but you shouldn't pray to Jesus as if you couldn't pray to the Father directly. As if you want Jesus to take your request to the Father for you because the Father is big and mean and scary and would never listen to you directly anyway. No, Jesus says, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So to pray in Jesus' name means to ask the Father directly as one who loves and believes in Jesus. That means that you don't harbor unrepented sin in your heart, as if Jesus' sacrifice were worth so little that you really want to just keep living in your sin, so you keep doing it. You keep living contrary to God's commandments knowingly. Instead, to believe in Jesus is to live in repentance, knowing that you're a sinner, recognizing it, turning from it always, every day, to him for forgiveness. That's faith in Jesus, believing that God sent him to bear your sin, not to excuse your sin. To bear your sin, to suffer for it, and to forgive you through faith in him. That faith in Jesus is living under his name, the name in which you were baptized, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To pray in his name is to pray as a believer in Jesus, as a baptized child of God. With his name on your lips as you approach the Father, hear me, Father, not for my sake, but for Jesus' sake, who died for me, for your dear Son's sake. Whether you say those words or whether you simply believe those words, God knows. That's the foundation of prayer in Jesus' name. And where God sees faith in Jesus, Jesus tells you the Father loves you. He loves you because you have loved Jesus and believed in him, that he came from God, that he has made satisfaction for your sins through his death on the cross, that he is your Savior. He loves you not just because you exist, not as he loves all men in the sense that he wants all men to believe in his Son and come into that loving family. He loves you because you do love him. Because you do love his Son and believe in him, because you have been made part of his family through holy baptism, he loves you in a special fatherly way. You have a direct father-son, father-daughter relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus. See then how useless are the "God, I don't know if you can hear me, but" prayers. If a person doesn't know if God can hear him or her, if a person doesn't know that God cares, then that person clearly doesn't believe in Jesus or his promises. And God won't listen to such prayers from unbelievers. See also how useless are the "God, if you do this, then I'll do that" prayers, because that's not praying in Jesus' name. That's praying in your name. That's praying to God based on what you have done or will do for God. Such a prayer is worthless to God. See how useless it would be to pray to the saints, as if you needed them to carry your petitions to that mean father. Jesus says you don't even need him to carry your prayers to the Father, because the Father loves you and will listen to you through faith in him. Now, if God loves you as he says he does, if God has invited you to pray in Jesus' name and has promised to grant your prayers in his name, then see how foolish it is not to pray. And what do you pray for in Jesus' name? If you're praying in Jesus' name, you're praying as Jesus prayed, and as Jesus has taught us to pray. Here, we have the Lord's Prayer that serves not only as the words that Jesus calls on us to use, but as the model of prayer in Jesus' name, so that you know what things Jesus would have you ask. First, you pray to our Father, your Father, but our Father, and not just the Father of Christians, but our Father, the Father of your brother, Jesus. And as one who loves Jesus, you also love his name, the name of God. So you pray for God's name to be hallowed, for his saving name to be holy through pure teaching of his word by which he reveals his name, and by pure living among his people, by a spotless life, as James said in his epistle today, so that you bring glory to God's name and not shame by living in sin, so that other people see you, a Christian, living in sin and blaspheme the name of God. So you pray for strength to live that way, for the pure teaching and the pure living of God's holy word. And as those who love Jesus, you love his kingdom. So you pray for God's kingdom to come, for God to send out his word and his spirit to bring people into his kingdom, into the kingdom of the Son he loves, and to tear down the kingdom of Satan at every turn. Then, whatever requests you make, whatever godly desires you have in your heart, God invites you to bring those petitions to Him, but always to add to them, whether with the words or simply with the faith. The words Jesus added to His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Thy will be done." Because you know that God's will is always good and always right, whether or not you understand it. And even when your flesh disagrees with it, you know God's will is best. And you pray for daily bread and ask our Father to provide for the specific needs of your body, to provide for your family, to provide for others, to provide a godly spouse for yourself one day or for your children, godly friends, a job through which God will continue not only to provide daily bread for you, but also make you so abundantly provided for that you can provide for others in need, for your church and your church family, to the poor and needy. You pray for forgiveness, since you daily sin, even as Christians. And as you daily repent of your sin, you pray for strength not to do it again. Strength to live as God calls on you to live in holiness. Strength to beat down your old Adam, your sinful flesh, each day to bring your flesh into submission. You pray for help from God in every temptation and for deliverance from every evil to body and soul, including the final deliverance of a believer's death and of a blessed resurrection of the body. Just about everything you could ask for in Jesus' name falls somewhere in one of those categories, in one of those petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus has already promised that such prayers are pleasing and acceptable in His sight and will be granted for His sake. So cherish all the gifts that Christ has left here for His church on earth before He ascended into heaven. But don't just cherish them in your heart. Use them. The gifts Christ has given are not gifts to be admired up on a shelf as you go about the rest of your life doing something else. The gifts of Christ are for Christians to use, so use them. Use the sacraments, those blessed gifts. Use the Word of God and take advantage of the opportunities God gives to read it, to hear it preached. Use the ministry of the pastor God has given you to learn and to grow in God's grace and knowledge. And use this gift too, this gift of prayer, that you can use anytime, anywhere. Your Father will hear, and your Father will help, because He loves you and has called you into fellowship with His beloved Son, into the family of your Father. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.